Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
Sorry, misfire there. Okay, so it looks like Henry McMaster is going with the slowly boil the frog strategy, where he's gradually closing businesses. You could tell he doesn't want to shut, you know, sort of mindlessly shut the whole state down. And so he's just kind of shutting businesses down around the edges, going for, you know, the biggest bang for his buck, if you will, yesterday. I thought, and I know you thought too, when he called that press conference, that he was just going to shut the whole thing down with a stay-at-home order.
Yeah, I was concerned.
Yeah.
Still concerned, but, at least we didn't get the full, lockdown, raise the white flag, surrender.
Thank God. Thank God for that. And at the same time, when you look at what he did close, and, you know, when a governor does this or any politician does this, some of these businesses, they're never going to open again.
Yeah,
this is a death sentence.
Yes, it is. It sadly is. Not for all, but for many, it will be.
Yeah. This is a death sentence for dreams, for lives, for marriages. This is bankruptcies. This is loss of homes. I mean, this is absolutely devastating to do this. And I still don't think we have the sense of seriousness about it that we have to. However, if you were going to pick something to close, I think he made the right picks, and that's a painful thing for me to say. Things like fitness and exercise centers and commercial gyms, that is not essential.
Well.
Spas, not essential. Group exercise facilities, spectator sports, indoor children's play areas, except daycare facilities, adult entertainment venues, bingo halls. Do we still have bingo halls? Sure, there's one somewhere.
Yeah, there are. That is still legal in South Carolina.
nightclubs, bowling alleys, arcades, that sort of thing. Theaters, auditoriums, performing arts centers, tourist attractions, stuff like that. So, stuff like.
Well, you got the bowling alleys, but you can still throw axes, I guess.
Well, yeah. That's the ultimate 6-foot distancing sport, is it not?
Yeah.
Man, I'm not getting close to the guy with the axe. You just stay over there. Don't miss, bud. One of these, though, I know is going to be devastating is hair salons. I actually was at the hair salon on Friday, thank God, because I needed it. And so, I was talking to the woman there. Half of them had already stopped working.
Yeah.
The rent was due on Friday. It was Friday. And my hairstylist was hanging in there because she makes her living doing. I mean, she doesn't have another option.
Right.
And she was saying, look, the rent is due today. There's 20 of us who work here. Only 10 are still working. And she said, I know the people who work here well. I've been here a couple of years. And she said, I honestly, God, I don't know how these people are going to pay their rent.
Yeah.
And she was just wondering aloud as she was doing my hair. And then she said, talking about the owner of the salon who has to pay a very big payment every month.
Oh, yeah.
I know everybody thinks if you own a building or a salon or you lease it that you must be rich, but that's just not not the case. And or that your landlord must be rich, just not the case. We heard from a landlord yesterday who's like, I could keep paying the mortgage on my 4 properties for 2 months and then I'm done. I'm just going to have to tell the bank, come and get them.
Yeah.
The reality of that is not widely understood. And again, I think so much of our media has just this childlike view of economics that if you are a landlord or a business owner, you were born rich, you didn't build that, you have, a goose that lays golden eggs somewhere in your attic. And it's just not the case. So she was saying, half of us are, I don't know how we're going to be paying rent on our chairs here. And she's basically said, I don't know how the owner of this salon is going to keep this place open. And now you really got to ask that question.
Well, yeah, because it's not open.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, it's not open. So Henry McMaster, obviously, under a tremendous amount of pressure here. And so he's saying, okay, who can I sacrifice to keep the rest open? That's kind of where he is right now.
Well, he gave Greenville City Council some cover.
Yeah, he did.
Because they actually were going to have a vote at 4 p.m. yesterday, we've been informed. And this was going to be on the ordinance. In fact, the city, I've got to thank them. They did a good job of sending us out. Here's exactly what's on the ordinance. Here's what we're going to be voting on, which we, you know, posted on our website, had on the news here. And then as we got word that the governor was going to have a media briefing at 4 p.m., Greenville, the city of Greenville, the folks in charge of that told us they're waiving it off and they're going to wait to review the governor's statement. Have not seen yet if there's any change as to what the city's going to do, trying to check our sources on that. But at least the city of Greenville decided not to go ahead with a vote and ceded their authority to the governor, where actually that, according to Attorney General Alan Wilson, is where it lies to begin with on decisions like this.
I have to say, yesterday Mayor Knox White said this, and he must have been listening to the show because I haven't heard it anywhere else. And good for him. He said, look, just basically what we were saying, which is, look, just because you're deemed essential, like, you know, you're grocery shopping, doesn't mean that you should be allowed to operate like the Wild West.
Yeah.
And they are. I mean, the sanitation, given what we are supposedly facing here, is horrific at best. You mean the self-checkout's still open? It's not clean. Person after person after person after person going through there, touching the same things. And that led, you know, a brilliant texter to ask, and we kind of parroted this. Why is TJ Maxx closed? Yeah. If you're not even bothering to sanitize the self-checkout, why? I mean, people were saying, well, it's essential. Well, that's not an excuse for, you know, being uncleanly and just literally operating like it's 6 months ago still. And Knox White said, listen, we're going to give grocery and home improvement stores urgently needed special oversight. I believe we have full authority to do that, even within the governor's action to date. And, you know, he said, starting with requiring people to stay 6 feet apart in places like grocery stores, but then going further with more oversight and regulation. And that's what they should. I mean, if you're going to tell people, you know, clothing stores, Hobby Lobby, places like that, well, you got to shut down. I'm sorry, but the Walmart is way less sanitary right now than those places. You got to make this make sense. And if you're letting 7, 5, however many people check out over the same scanning place, you know, nobody's wearing gloves, nobody's wiping that thing down after each customer, there's no sanitation whatsoever, you've lost me at that point. You can't just cover it up and say, well, it's essential. Well, I mean, the virus doesn't care. It doesn't care if it's essential or not. By the way, did you notice something, Lee? This list that the Greenville City Council put out, right? Essential services. Did you catch something about this? I didn't catch it till I saw a tweet out of another state, and then I looked. Do you realize that churches are not essential services, right? You can't leave your church open in this, but alcoholic beverage stores are.
Oh, boy.
Again, another sign you're not serious. You're not serious. You're going to have to convince me this. You're serious. And if you're going to close down church, if you don't have churches here listed as essential, but alcoholic beverage stores are, you're not serious. This is a joke. Shut them down. You're shutting my church down. That ABC store is going down. And listen, I'm saying this, Lee, as you know, as a massive aficionado of alcohol. Okay.
specifically the fruit of the vine.
Yes. I love wine. You should see what's in my wine cellar right now. We call it the wine cellar. It's actually a walk-in food closet, but we call it the wine cellar, you know? So, I'm a massive aficionado of that. I don't like beer, but I love alcohol. And, so for me to say that, that's a big deal, but, convince me you're serious. Convince me if you are going to brutalize certain businesses, but not others, do it in a way that makes sense. Then. They've got to cut down on these self-checkout lines. They've got to have better sanitation at these grocery stores if you're going to convince. Because honestly, if I'm going to see what I continue to see at these stores in these self-checkouts, and even with the cashiers, as we talked about yesterday, then you know what? You might as well just leave the Hobby Lobby open. Leave the closed stores open. Leave Kohl's open. Leave it all open. Just leave it open. What's the point? Well, we feel good. Well, okay. Have you stood and watched the checkout line? There's a lot we could be doing, Lee, that we're not. Not even close. So, I mean, there's still a lot of nonsensical, you know, hypocriticalness in this to me.
Yeah.
That you know, I'm going to give you a lot of leeway if you convince me that you really believe this needs to be done and you're really looking out for people. But the way that this is being implemented is not. So hats off to Knox White. They need to get, like, health reg people into these places. Because it's ridiculous what goes on in them right now. If we're really so serious, we are literally going to destroy people's businesses because we dump them into a category called non-essential, then let's make sure these essential businesses run in a way that is truly safe. And we're nothing like that right now.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's jump on the Ingles Advantage talk line with David in Williamson. Hey, David.
Hi, how are you, Tara?
Good.
But yes, you was talking about the ABC stores being open still.
I'm talking about if they're serious and they really mean this. If you're not serious, if you got to literally destroy people's lives by taking their businesses, and then you're going to turn around and tell me that alcohol stores are essential businesses, that's a joke. If you're going to close my church, you're going to close clothing stores, you're going to close all this, and then tell me it's okay, but this thing is deadly, I had to do it. I had no choice. But then tell me it's okay, though, if I risk my life, according to you, to go into an alcohol store, that's essential. You're going to have a hard time selling me on that you're serious.
If you think about it, though, if they closed them all today, mm-hmm. how many beds would it take up for all the people going into detox? There would be thousands of hospital beds lost in this state immediately. Now, I think it's ridiculous also.
I'm laughing.
That's what they're thinking. That is what they're thinking.
That's silly.
Whether it is ridiculous, I agree. But that's why they're leaving them open.
Nah, that's not why they're leaving them open. They're leaving them open because they want the votes. They know that they will hear from people, David, these politicians, I think, will hear from people they have never heard from before and who never voted and never cared till you took your alcohol away. It's about votes. So I'm saying if you are going to take a wrecking ball to these businesses, you convince me you're serious. You're not serious if you're leaving the alcohol stores open. This is now picking and choosing. Well, these people who own alcohol stores, they'll be okay. But this business over here, it's not as popular, so I'm going to wreck that. No. If you are going to tell me this thing is as deadly as you say, then you shut those alcohol stores. Show me you're serious. You're not serious. It's this kind of silliness that drives me nuts. It truly is. Okay. So, yesterday, Trump gave us a big warning about the rough few weeks ahead. I'm glad he's doing this.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks. And then hopefully, as the experts are predicting, as I think a lot of us are predicting after having studied it so hard, you're going to start seeing some real light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. So where are we at now? U.S. predicting, and this is mainly Trump's team, 100,000 to 240,000 deaths from the coronavirus. Fauci, then playing the good cop, walked that back a bit, said he thought if we're real good, we could keep it under 100,000. It's exactly what I told you. Exactly where I told you we would be. So I've hit this thing dead on right, and I've done it weeks ahead of the rest of the crew. I told you there would not be 1 million to 2 million deaths in this country. The author of that hysterical study has now been forced by his college to retract it. And we're in this range. It's a range of a severe flu season. I've been telling you that since February 28th when the head of the CDC, the NIH, and the NIAID wrote it for the first time in the New England Journal of Medicine. What does that mean? And there's a lot of confusion here. I'm getting some hate. And I understand what I have to help you understand what's going on here. There's some good news in this and some bad news. Texter writes, you're preaching. This is no more serious than the flu. It's going to kill a lot of people. I listen daily, and I'm a conservative and a fan. I think you're going down the wrong road here for ratings. No. If I wanted ratings, I would have done what my competition has done across the country, and I would have come out and panicked you. I could have easily done it. I would have had a great excuse. Look, it's on the television. But I don't do that to you. I love you guys, and I'm always going to tell you the truth. And I told you this would be in the range of a severe flu. That's not my opinion. That was the opinion of the heads of our three health agencies. And it will end up being correct at the end of this. Remember how the New England Journal of Medicine thing, a piece was written on the 28th? That right now it looked like a 3.4% death rate. But at the end, when we had the numbers of the mild cases, we would see that it would be about the same as a severe flu season. Well, what is a severe flu season? We know what it is. We just had one in 2017, 2018. It's 61 to 80,000 deaths. That's what the CDC estimates. So I'm hitting this thing dead on right so far. Severe flu season. May go a little higher than that. That's what Fauci's saying. If we hit it right, we're going to keep it under 100,000. The president's team is rightly saying 100 to 240,000 deaths. They know they'll bring it in lower than that. So what is the good news in this? The good news in this is, as I've been telling you for weeks, and I was the first to bring you this news, it's not going to be 1 million to 2.2 million deaths. I've said that from the beginning. And what that means is our hospital system is not going to be overwhelmed. It's going to get hairy for a while, but we can handle this. And that news is starting to get out. And the reason we know we can handle this is we did it 2 years ago and it didn't even cause a blip in the news. Here are the articles that are beginning to come out. Headline, University of Washington projection. And by the way, the University of Washington projections are one of the four models that the Trump team is using. University of Washington projection, coronavirus won't overwhelm Ohio hospitals and ICU beds. Why? It's in the range of a severe flu season, just like I told you. Understand when I've said that. I want to be really clear about this. I'm not saying it's like the flu. Isn't it the flu? I have said that from the beginning. But the death rate will range in the severe level. And the hospitalization rate will range in the severe level. And that means we can handle it. In other words, the panic came from the unknown. The panic came from looking at Italy and going, oh my God, are we going to be in the ER with no ventilator? You know, issued a do not resuscitate order. We're not going to be there. That's what this means. And them dramatically walking the numbers back to about where I was proves that. Now, we're going to watch 80,000 to 100,000 people die of this. I still think it will come in lower than 80, but we'll see. But that's in the ranges of a severe flu. We did that in 2017 and 2018. So what I'm telling you is don't panic. If you get this, and please try to avoid it, we can handle it. Our system can handle it. We've done it before. And coming up in just a few minutes on the show, I'm going to make you feel better about this. I'm going to make you feel better about this. That same model they're now quoting all over the country, IHME, shows that South Carolina can handle this. We have the available beds to do it. Again, it's going to get hairy for a while because we're going to push right up against the limits. But it ain't going to be Italy. You're not going to be dying on the floor of the ER because they don't have a bed for you. It's not going to be the picture the media painted. And I'm going to calmly lay this out for you. Maybe that's not what gets ratings, but it's what you can always count on me for. See, it's stuff like this that drives me nuts. This actually had a member of my family in a cold panic when it came out. So much so that we had to stop talking for a while. A member of my family was saying, look, I'm going to get sick from this and there's no testing and I'm going to die from this and nobody's going to be able to help me. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm trying to calm her down and say, look, like, you know, in terms of capacity, we can handle, we have this, we got it. 60 to 80,000 people died of the flu. They fled, you know, 2017, 2018 was terrible. We handled it with barely a peep. It's terribly tragic for those who got it. But our systems can handle this. Our systems cannot handle 1 to 2.2 million. So what the message I want you to take away this morning is the stories out of Italy and the terror that the media has, you know, foisted upon you, we are now in a range our systems can handle. That's not my opinion. There is a study out right now And this comes out of the Washington State. And they are running a model. It's the IHME. And if you look for South Carolina, and this is the difference these numbers are now making. If you need, this is what I want you to understand, so you don't panic. If you need that bed, if you get sick with this, or the flu, or something else, there'll be a bed for you. They are doing hospital use projections. They did them for South Carolina right now. And their projections for corona cases at peak, which is going to come in South Carolina April 27th, that we will need 3,047 hospital beds to handle that. That's peak, which they're projecting for South Carolina. It's going to come a little later than the rest of the country. It's not going to be the April 15th for us, for other states, some other states maybe, but for us, it's not going to be according to the Washington State University. It's going to be April 27th. We will need, at peak, 3,047 beds. Their bed shortage for South Carolina is zero. We have 4,679. In other words, we will be able to do this. We're going to have the resources to do it. And I'm telling you that to make everybody feel calm. Now, what about ICU beds? We are going to be a little hairy, but we're going to be right in the range of hitting it. In other words, we have enough. It's going to, like I said, it'll be tight, but we have enough. That's not me. That's one of the four models that the Trump team is using. That is a far cry from the terror that was foisted upon us a couple of weeks ago. Going to be a million deaths, 2.2 million deaths. No, there's not. It's not going to be that. Not even close. The final death projection for South Carolina comes in at 1,060 through August 4th. So again, a situation akin to a severe flu. I'm not saying that corona is like the flu. But what I'm saying is that there will be health care available for you. And these kind of stories like this one, did you see Natasha? This is what had, again, a member of my family in absolute cold terror. The story from the mainstream media, turns out to be a total lie, was that she was found dead on her kitchen floor. Do you remember this? While awaiting her coronavirus test results. As corona killed her, and this, of course, was Trump's fault somehow. Her family is mourning her. It's really terrible. Remember, she's from New Orleans, 39. No. Her test did come back. It was negative. Didn't have corona. Have you seen this corrected in the media? Of course not. Story's too good to correct. The media reported incorrectly that she died of COVID-19 while waiting for her test results and then just basically didn't bother to follow up the story. Gateway pundit did. The media also did not reveal, or they did not know, or they did not bother to find out that she was in fact suffering from 2 years of an undiagnosed intestinal condition. Her boyfriend had lied and said she was perfectly healthy. The Sun Herald reported, their local newspaper, they did a good job of covering this. But you know how, remember, the mainstream media picks it up. They blast it around. Again, a family member of mine sent this to me. Terrified. I'm not going to be able to get a test. I'm not going to get whatever. And I was trying to tell her, look, even if for some reason you can't or don't or won't have a test, it's not going to change your treatment. They'll treat the symptoms. There's no cure. So it's going to be treated whether you get the test or not. Doesn't matter. According to the Sun Herald, the exact reason the woman, Natasha Ott, died remains under investigation by the coroner's office, but they now know it was not corona. Ott's death drew public notice when her boyfriend, Josh Anderson, wrote in a widely shared social media post that he'd found her dead March 20th in her kitchen, that she had no underlying health conditions. Turns out she did. And that she died waiting for her COVID-19 test. Again, that came back negative. Not corrected. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, our texters criticized me earlier. I mean, do you really want me to go wild telling you this stuff? Panic you? I'm not doing it. You want that? Go listen to something else. I refuse to do it. I've always been straight with you. I'll be as straight with you as I have ever been. If I wanted ratings, I would do what everybody else is doing. I would panic you. So Trump is right. It's going to get hairy. You can see it in the projections. But I'm here to tell you, we have the beds to handle it in South Carolina. That's not me. That's the Washington University IHME study. Right now, they're tracking it. Now, if there's some spike that could change, I will tell you that too. But we're fortunate as a country. We've had time to prepare for this, and we're not doing it on top of the flu. which, you know, at you put this on top of the flu. Oh, my. That would have been bad. Thank God we have flu trailing off right now. That's going to free up beds. So be careful. Take precaution. Take protective measures. Follow doctor's advice. This kills. I have said that from day one in every segment that I have dealt with it. But know that it's not as bad as the picture they have painted in terms of there not being medical care for you, the system being overwhelmed. We're going to be okay. Fred in Flat Rock. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tara. How are you today?
Good.
My son is a manager at a local grocery store. And he was talking about if it was actually about safety, keeping people safe, Walmart, Target, all those places would close down their clothing sections, their shoe sections, keep people from staying in the store, wandering the stores. Grocery stores would start going, here's a counter outside or at the front of the store. You would walk up and say, I need bread, milk, sugar, butter. You would pay for it and get your car and leave. They would walk through the store and pick up stuff. That would eliminate exposure to other people. Most drugstores today have drive-through windows, so you'd only use those. And he said, and he made a valid point to me. I think he did. I mean, if it's actually about protection, and liquor stores would be closed. And I don't know if you saw it or not. I think in North Carolina, they're fighting over whether to close abortion clinics or not. And I'm not picking sides on the abortion issue. If I can't get my gallbladder taken out, why do you get to get an abortion? Did that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. It's political. Here's another question for you. Okay. We've seen, I was going to get back into this later. We've seen several states say, oh, you can't have elective procedures, but you can have an elective abortion. Oh, but you can't go to church. Okay, well, my right to go to church is in the First Amendment. My right to have an abortion is nowhere in the Constitution. So I'm not sure how you arrive at that, your right to an elective abortion.
The one that I saw was, okay, the people could go in and get the abortion, fine, whatever. I may not agree with that stance, but fine. But you're not allowed to stand outside and protest because you're congregating. It was six people. They were even under the limit of 10 people. Six people staying 6 feet apart, and one politician won't go over there and run them off for congregating around an abortion clinic saying, don't get an abortion. I'm sorry, that's hypocritical of anything. You can go inside and congregate, but you can't stand outside and congregate. You know, it's just, that was totally political. I don't care what that politician said.
And you know what, Fred, you're getting at the heart of this when you said that. You just nailed that. That was totally political. It's kind of like, you know, convince me that you truly believe this is as deadly as you do by shutting everything down in a non-political way. If you're serious, be serious. Don't tell me I can't go to church, but then leave the liquor stores open. All right, let's jump on the line with April in Gaffney. Hey, April.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to tell you to tell everybody to stay home. We had an incident where my husband was in the hospital this weekend. And normally when an individual's in the hospital, they have a family member there helping with running and getting them water, helping them to the restroom, doing all that care while the nurse focuses on their medical care. Well, that didn't happen this weekend because the nursing staff at hospitals are overwhelmed. And not only that, that family member isn't there to help them. So the staff is having to do it. And it really made me angry when I was driving down through Gaffney and I saw all the motorcycle clubs out. Lowe's was packed. Walmart was packed. If there is a virus going on, a pandemic, why are these people all over the place, but yet family members can't go assist and be there at the hospitals? So if they're going to close the hospitals to family members because this is so dangerous, people stay home. Close Lowe's, have it picked up. Close Walmart, have groceries picked up. This is madness because people are still going out. They're not social distancing themselves. And even the healthcare are going to work and going home, going to Lowe's, going. So it's spreading. The spread is not stopping. So if people are really concerned, go to work, go home, go get what you need, go home. Do not go out shopping. Do not go to Lowe's or order it and have it delivered. Something's got to change if people are really concerned. Otherwise, this is just nothing but politics.
Yeah, and you know, I hear a lot of what you're saying. I have no idea if Walmart could like bring it out to everybody that needs it. I can't imagine the staffing would take. Like, that might actually be impossible, April. But you do make a point about, you know, why, you know, with the hospital visitation and all, why is that rule there and there aren't rules everywhere else? And I think that's what makes people, you know, really doubt about this. And some of this is not just political and instead of medical. These are just the questions, I mean, a lot of you have been asking. But thank you for your phone call. Texter writes about our last caller, the well-spoken Southern gentleman who was, the well-spoken Southern gentleman did have a point, but he should be focused, oh my Lord, on the leadership of our country. That's who should be closing down the stores. He is dividing us and it will cost him. We can debate who should be doing it. Texter writes, hey, Tara, Trump says, yeah, I just played this audio. It says it will be the toughest 2 weeks in U.S. He didn't say in U.S. history beginning Friday. He said it's going to be the toughest 2 weeks of this whole crisis. And a lot of people are going to die. What the heck does that mean? And he's preparing you for the worst of this. He's preparing you to watch 1,000 people die a day. Maybe higher. He's preparing you to see these numbers. You're not used to these numbers. And what he's trying to do, if you know it's coming, you're not going to panic. And what the reason he's doing is the media's going to try to panic you. That's what they do. So we address that, and I'm going to talk about it more as we go throughout the show. A lot of you have misunderstood me when I've compared this to the flu. I'm not saying corona is like the flu in terms of disease. It's not. It's a totally different thing. But what I am saying is that we, and I have said from the beginning, we can look at the death rates of the flu, which are massive. And we can look at the years in which our system handled it. And we can figure out, will the system be overwhelmed? Because that's what's really scary. And we can make our predictions. So what Trump is saying, be prepared. Be prepared for 100,000 or more deaths. Anthony Fauci came up behind him and said, no, it's probably not going to be that if we do everything right. And I believe him. I think that's where we're going to end up, where he's always predicted we would be, which is a severe flu season. That's 60 to 80,000 deaths. And because people don't know that, it's scarier. It's a lot scarier. What, 60 to 80,000 people die in one season of flu? Yes, they do. And we can handle it. What we can handle is 1.1 to 2 million deaths, but that's no longer going to happen. But Trump wants you to be prepared for when you hear the numbers so you won't panic.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.